They moved us to a place just outside Tredegar then for a couple of days, Cord said.
Right before they blew the walls,
Yul added.
Then we anti-swarmed to an old missile base in the desert. I liked that. No media. Lots of hiking.
He sighed helplessly.
But now we're here. No hiking in this place.
Did they give you anything before you boarded the ship?
Like a big pill?
Yul said.
Like this?
He held out his hand, the everything killer resting in the middle of his palm. I jerked my hand out and clasped his and shook it. He looked surprised. When we let go, I made sure the pill was in my hand. You want mine? Cord said. They said it was a tracking device for our safety, but I didn't want to be tracked, and well, if you wanted safety, you wouldn't have come, I said. Exactly. She handed me her pill, a little more discreetly than Yul had done.
What are they, really?
Yul asked. I was drawing up a lie when I happened to glance up and saw him looking at me in a way that said he would brook no deception. Weapons, I mouthed. Yul nodded and looked away. Cord looked nauseated. I took my leave, tucking the pills into a fold of my bolt, for I had just noticed Emin Beldo emerging from the inflatable with an aide of, to judge from body language, lesser stature. I yanked out my earbud and tossed it aside. Emin saw me headed his way and told the other to get lost. I met him at the edge of the pool. Just a second, were his first words. Around his neck, he had a little electronic device on a lanyard. He turned it on, and it began to talk, emitting random syllables and word fragments in Orth. It sounded like Emin and a couple of other people, recorded and run through a blender. What is it? I asked. And before I had reached the end of this short utterance, my own voice had been thrown into the blender, too. I answered my own question. A means of defeating surveillance, I said, so we can talk freely. He made no sign that I was right or wrong, but only looked at me interestedly.
You've been through some changes, he pointed out,
making an effort to speak distinctly above the murmur of Emin and Erasmus gibberish. I peeled back my bolt fold and let him see what I had collected from Yul and Cord.
Under what circumstances, I said, are you planning to turn these on?
Under the circumstance that I am given the order to do so, he answered, with a glance back toward the tent.
You know what I mean.
It is clearly a measure of last resort, Emin said, when diplomacy fails and it looks like we are about to be killed or taken hostage.
I just wonder whether the Pandrandrums are even competent to render such judgments, I said.
I know paying attention to secular politics isn't your game, he said, but it has gotten a little better since our gracious hosts threw the Warden of Heaven out the airlock, and even more so since the anti-swarm started throwing its weight around.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, would I?
I pointed out, since I've been otherwise engaged the last 2 weeks. Emin snorted.
No kidding. Nice job, by the way.
Thanks. Someday I'll tell you stories, but for now, just how exactly did the anti-swarm throw its weight around?
They didn't have to say much, Emin told me. It was obvious.
What was?
He took a deep breath, sighed it out.
Look, 3,700 years ago, the Avowt were herded into Maths because of fear of their ability to change the world through praxis.
He nodded helpfully at where I had tucked the everything killers.
Because of clever stunts like that, I guess. So praxis stopped, or at least slowed down to a rate of change that could be understood, managed, controlled.
Fine. Until these guys showed up. He raised his head and gazed around.
Turned out that all we'd been doing was losing the arms race to Cosmai that hadn't imposed any such limits on their Avowt. And guess what? When Arb decided to fight back a little, who delivered the counterpunch? Our military? The secular power? Nope. You guys and the bolts and cords. So the anti-swarm has garnered a lot of clout just by doing a lot and saying very little. Hence the concept of the two magisterium, which is...
I've heard of it, I said. He and I stood there for a few moments, gazing across the elliptical pond at the opposite shore, where processions of Ernewden and Troan dignitaries were emerging from their pavilions, making their way toward the water. The garble box around Emin's neck, however, did not know how to shut up.
So that is the narrative everyone is working with now, I asked him.
He looked at me alertly.
I guess you could think of it that way.
Well,
I said. If this thing goes all pear-shaped and some pandrum gives you the order to activate the EKs, it'd be a shame if that pandrum and you turned out to have the narrative all wrong, wouldn't it?
What do you mean?
He asked sharply. 3,700 years ago, they rounded us up, yeah. But they didn't take away our ability to mess with new matter, in consequence of which, we had the first sack. Fine. No more new matter. Except for a few exemptions that got grandfathered in. Factories where the stuff still gets made, staffed by ex-avowed who get evoked when they are needed. Time passes. We're still allowed to do sequence manipulation. Things get a little spooky. There's a second sack. No more sequence work. No more syndevs in the consents, except for a few exemptions that get grandfathered in. The Eda, the clocks, the page trees, and the library grapes, and maybe some labs on the outside, staffed by skeleton crews of evoked and consent-trained praxics like you. Fine. Things are under control now, right? Not much the avowed can do if they have nothing, no syndevs, no tools at all except for rakes and shovels, and are being watched over by an Inquisition. Now we're really under the secular power's thumb. Until 2.5 millennia later, when it turns out that sufficiently smart people locked up on crags with nothing to do but think can actually come up with forms of praxis that require no tools and are all the more terrifying for that. So we have a third sack, the worst of all, much more savage than the others. 70 years later, the mathic world gets reestablished. But you have to ask yourself the obvious question,